This podcast is a 98 Studios production.
Hey, it's Christy. Welcome back to Do the Work. Today and every day, we will talk about things that really matter. You, your thoughts, your feelings, and your experiences. Relationships are what matter most, and they can be complicated. If you'd like a better connection with yourself, with others, and with God, you are in the right place. So glad you're here. Welcome back to Do the Work. I'm happy to be here with you as we are just right in the middle of spring, and just brings me so much joy to see what seemed dead and gone, trees, bushes, grass, so many things that felt like they were completely, like they're not coming back, to see them coming to life, and not just to life, but with so much beauty, so much color. To me, it is so representative of our human life experiences. We all go through winters. Every one of us will go through many winters. But we can know, we can always know that it will not stay that way. So I just thought that and felt that today. My sister was in town and I told her last night, we like to play tennis or pickleball together. And I said, oh, I can't. I have too much tomorrow morning. I just can't do it. And then she sent me a text earlier this morning. I'm like, I'll meet you at the courts at 7:15. And as I was driving to the court to meet her, she's from out of town. Shout out, Ange. First of all, I was excited to see her. But second of all, I just was filled with light and love at this gift of spring. And so I just wanted to share that today, because what I'm going to talk about isn't quite so springy. Very important. Actually, I think critical if we want to have more connected relationships with ourselves and with others. But sometimes may feel we may be tempted when we talk about different topics to actually go into shame or to feel, you know, what we think is guilt. But that is not my motive today. My motive is to say, hey, notice this, and then make the steps to move out of it. Today I want to discuss something that I desperately wish I had known about when I was a young mother. And actually, as I say that, I wish I'd understood it as a young girl so that I could have held it properly when I experienced it. I'm talking about shaming language and how it affects the shamer and those who are shaming with our words and with our actions or behaviors. Words matter. Period, exclamation mark, like 13 exclamation marks. Words matter. All we have to do is watch a child who's being shamed with words and see how they're affected. Or watch a teenager who's become very quiet or even silent because they want to avoid being shamed at all costs. Or you can see it in spouses in how they communicate or they don't communicate. Shaming language is destructive because it can deeply hurt individuals, damage their self-esteem, create feelings of shame or inadequacy, and hinder healthy communication and relationships. It can also perpetuate cycles of negativity and harm rather than fostering understanding and growth. Shaming language is never helpful, yet so many of us use it on a regular basis, and we don't even know that we're doing it. So today, I want to answer three questions. What is shaming language? Second question, why do we do it? And third, how can we change it? First, what is shaming language? Shaming language refers to words or phrases or gestures used to make someone feel stupid, embarrassed, or inferior about their actions, beliefs, or identity. It can be used to control or manipulate others through negative emotions like shame or embarrassment. For most of us, shaming someone else is not something that we consciously want to do. We don't think, I'm going to shame them. I mean, sometimes we do, I guess. But it's not conscious for most of us. Yet it is often a way that we choose to communicate. Questions such as, what were you thinking? What is wrong with you? Did you seriously do that again? Why don't you use your brain? Or statements like, I can't even care about you right now. Or I can't even hear your voice right now. Or, Of course that happened to you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Only a terrible or stupid person would do something like that. You're such a loser. I can't believe you're so dumb. What kind of parent behaves like that? Oh, yeah, I would have expected that from you. Several years ago, I was at a park meeting up with some high school friends, and we were talking and laughing and just catching up. Someone asked me a question, and I cannot for the life of me remember what the question was or what I said. It's been over 20 years, for sure. But I can still remember what one of my friends said to me. Oh, Christy, of course you'd say something like that. It was said with just a little bit of disgust in her voice. I'm sure she likely never thought of it again. But I have. Now, I don't still feel hurt by it. In fact, I never even acknowledged that it hurt when she said it to myself or to her. But the fact that we're 20 years past the experience and every now and then that will pop up in my mind, I remember feeling embarrassed and wondering what she meant by it. Today, I would have turned to her and said, wait, tell me what you mean by that. And we could have addressed it. But I didn't know how to do that then. And it's likely you have many of these experiences as well. And we've put this on other people. That's a tough lens to look at. That's a tough space to look for me because I know that I have caused that feeling in many, many people, particularly my children who I love with my whole soul and will forever be willing to hear from them how I've affected them by things that I said so that I can apologize. Shame, that feeling of worry or concern that our worth or lovability is debatable, is something all humans experience. And then to have someone speak to you in a way that questions those same fears or worries exacerbates those feelings. I was in a grocery store and saw a parent strongly grab their child and sit them down in the cart with aggression and told their child not to move again. I saw the child's demeanor drop, his head and face drop. I could literally feel this little child's spirit drop. I desperately wanted to go over and hug that child. And really what I wanted was to hug my own children and to hug me as a little girl. We maybe have all had that experience because our parents are human. Their frustration and their anger because they're human and likely they have no idea why they're so upset have treated us or we've treated others in that way. It's a human experience, but it is not an okay experience to keep doing when we recognize what we're doing. Shaming is often a part of a parent's language. Hurry up. Why are you always so slow? What were you thinking? I'm so sick of saying this over and over again. You are my messiest child. What is wrong with you? I can't take your drama. Are you seriously going out of the house looking like that? Don't embarrass me. Or in a partnership, you could care less about me. You are screwed up. You make our lives miserable. I wish I'd never met you. Oh, of course you're not going to do what you said you would do. You're an idiot. I can't stand you. You didn't do that right. Or here are some more passive-aggressive ways to shame. I'll put your clothes in the dirty clothes hamper because I know you won't. Oh, you chose to make this again? Said with a little disgust. Sorry I'm late. I was cleaning up your mess. Said with a snide smile. And on and on and on. Shaming language is destructive. Almost never will someone address the shaming language. They might shame back. They might address it by shaming back. But it's very rare for someone to say, ouch, that didn't feel good when you said that. Here's another piece. The person we often shame the most is ourselves. It could sound like this. And lots of times our shaming language to ourselves is language that we heard spoken to us growing up. So we just continue to repeat it. And it can also just come from our own brains, our own shame. It might sound like this. Because I'm not confident in myself, I'm not attractive to other people. Because I don't look a certain way, she won't like me. Why would I go to that party? No one will be attracted to me. If I'm productive, then I have value. You didn't say that right. What's wrong with you? What are they going to think about you? I don't have problems. I am the problem. I should be able to figure this out without talking to anyone or without doing anything. I should just be able to figure it out myself. I work on that, this or that all the time. You'd think I'd have that figured out. I'm so stupid. Those last phrases, those parts of shaming ourselves, those are actual phrases I've heard come out of people's mouths very recently. Different clients, different friends or family. I use this example really, really frequently because I think it's a really good one. Shaming language can sound like I'm running up the stairs to get something and I trip. And I used to always say to myself, oh, I'm so stupid. Like, I'm just so clumsy. But the truth is, I'm human and I tripped. I'm not stupid or clumsy. Shaming just comes quickly. And unless we're aware of it, we'll just continue to believe it and hear it. Shaming language is an emotional punch in the gut. If someone physically came and punched you, you would have lots of clarity that that person had hurt you. You would likely be very clear about how you felt about the punch. But when someone shames us with their language, we feel the punch, but we generally don't speak to it. We don't know how to respond to it. We know it hurt, but we act like it didn't. Although for those of us, by the way, who have turned off our emotions, we may not even feel the hurt. We may just feel a desire to shut off more or to distance ourselves more from the people that we say we love the most. So we know it hurt, but we act like it didn't, which increases its negative effect on us. And when we shame ourselves, it just feels like the truth every time. I'm just stupid, or what's wrong with me? And that is not true. But this begs the question, why do we do it? There are a few reasons. We're practiced at hearing it and using it. If we shame others, it is very likely we were shamed ourselves. This is often hard to believe or understand because most of us grew up in great homes with loving parents. I know that's not true for everyone. But so many people have a really hard time understanding shame or shaming language because I grew up in this home where I knew I was loved and cared for. However, two things can be true. We can grow up with parents who loved us, and they could use shaming language. And like so many other emotional trauma and experiences that we have, shaming language is the gift that keeps on giving. We repeat what we know and what we've heard. Shaming language is also a way for us to not have to be vulnerable. It allows us to feel like we have the power instead of feeling the fear or discomfort that we cannot control a situation. We shame ourselves and others out of habit or out of protection, not because we're terrible humans, but because we have not yet committed not to or done the work to figure out why we're doing it and then choosing to stop. I will tell my clients, one of the most loving things you can do is tell the person who's speaking shamingly to you how it feels, an actual feeling to the words. If someone doesn't understand how their choices are affecting another person, it's really hard to actually believe you need to change. And change takes time. I was a yeller as a mom, a young mom, particularly. I was, you know, if someone bugged me or made me mad or didn't move fast enough, I was like, hey, come on. Like, what's happening? Get going. What? I used shaming language. I knew I didn't want to show up that way. I didn't ever feel good about myself after I did it. But to change the practice and the pattern, what I didn't know is how to go underneath the behavior to see why I was doing it. I didn't know how to do that, but I would shame my kids, but then I would say to myself, what is wrong with me? Like, this is a child. Why am I yelling? I hope this is resonating with some of you. I'm feeling very vulnerable sharing it. And I hope if my children are listening to this, that they will feel and address any of the pain that comes from that. So I want to say it again. Shaming language is a way for us to not have to be vulnerable. Consider this. It's much easier to say you're screwed up than to say, I feel scared by the way that you're showing up. I'm not sure how to respond to you. I love you. And I want you to notice that your choices are affecting me. Or how about this scenario? You are so dramatic would change to, I can see that you're hurting or scared or excited. Tell me more. I want to know and understand you better. If you are noticing that you're feeling some pain because you use this language, be merciful to yourself. For sure, acknowledge that you do it. But then instead of shaming yourself for it, which would be ironic and very normal, you can choose to validate that you haven't recognized that you were doing it and wait for the next question to be answered. How do I change it? How do I stop shaming myself and others? And you know where I'm headed. First and foremost, validate yourself. Recognize that something in you is afraid that you're not enough, that you're not lovable, that you don't matter. And so we use this language to protect ourselves. I know that that sounds like, wait, what? How did you get to there? It's very nuanced. But that is a huge part of changing any pattern is to validate the wound from which it comes. Acknowledge it. Share it with someone that you love and trust. And then share it again if you need to. And again, if you need to, if it keeps kind of bubbling up. So validate and acknowledge your own wound, where you've been shamed, where you learned that. My dad, in his humanness, whom I love with my whole soul, when I would do something dumb, quote, dumb, he would point to his brain and say, kidneys, man, kidneys, like, is your brain in there? Do you have a brain? He wouldn't say that, but that was the message that I would hear. And then when I started to understand this, one of my natural shaming phrases to myself is, oh, I'm so dumb. I'm not blaming my dad at all. What I'm recognizing is that the way that he didn't know how to say, hey, Christy, you're going to hurt yourself if you keep choosing to do something that way. Or I can't even remember when he would say it. He didn't know how to say that. And I didn't know how to translate. Oh, my dad doesn't know how to say that. So I took the message, I'm dumb. Turns out, good news, I'm not dumb. You're not dumb. If that is a message you hear, stop. Stop saying it. I have a strong boundary with myself. I don't get to say that to myself. And if it ever comes out or if I ever find myself thinking it, I will acknowledge the wound and then I will replace it with the truth. I am not dumb. I'm learning. This is new to me. Or I wasn't paying attention and I just did something that I've done so many times. The reason this is so important is, again, because words matter. Our thoughts create our feelings and our feelings create our behavior. So if I'm shaming myself or if I'm shaming someone else, it's going to create a feeling. And then that feeling creates our behavior. So acknowledge, validate the wound that's underneath it. Acknowledge that you did it. And then number three, choose to change it. Choose to clean it up with yourself or with someone else. I've called my children many times friends, neighbors, especially when I was learning about this, and it just naturally would come out. Shaming language would just come as easy as anything. And when I started to recognize it, I made many calls to people that I love, even perfect strangers. I would go back and say, hey, I'm sorry I responded that way. I almost got in a fist fight with a man at a football game once. We were at a BYU game and he was screaming at all the coaches. And I was like, what is wrong with you? By the end of the game, I turned to him and said, I'm sorry, there's not something wrong with you, but I don't appreciate how you were speaking. There's not a chance on the planet any of those players could hear him, but I didn't like how I showed up. So I got to clean it up. Someone I love got mad at the lady at Target once and she got all the way home and then she didn't like how she had responded to one of the rules at Target, but she took it out on the woman behind the counter. So she got back in her car, went back to Target and said, "I'm really sorry for how I responded to you. I know this isn't your rule. Please forgive me." How do we stop shaming language? We clean it up. And with every cleanup, our brain can be rewired. It is a choice. It requires humility, responsibility, charity, vulnerability, honesty. It requires us to live inside of our integrity. Shame, if you use it as an acronym, I didn't make this up, but I really loved it. Shame says you should have already mastered everything. Baloney. That is not true. We are humans. We're here to learn, grow, and progress. We're going to make mistakes. Humans whiff, like I talked about with Mary Scoresby on her podcast. And we don't have to live in shame, and we don't have to use shaming language. My invitation to you today, as you consider and listen to this podcast, is to stop. If you're going to take one thing away from this podcast, I want you to notice language that you speak to yourself, because likely what you say to yourself will often come out to other people. Write it down. I'm a big believer that when we write, like when we expose these shaming messages, they lose their power. I cannot tell you how many CEOs or physicians or lawyers or business owners or any profession, how often when they come into my office and I hear this shaming language, and to stop and help them recognize, like, if you'll choose to not say that to yourself, if you'll choose, write down that language so that when you hear it, you can know, oh, that's shaming language. I don't want to respond like that anymore. I want to love myself. I want to love others. I want to feel that love. I want them to feel that love. That's my invitation today. Find the language in you. Write it down. Expose it. Share it with someone you love and trust who would never use it to throw it back at you, by the way. And then allow yourself to make mistakes, clean it up, and repeat. You'll have many choices in your day and in your week. I hope you'll choose to do the work.
If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, share a written experience, or ask me a question, go to coachchristy.life and fill out the podcast questionnaire, and we'll be in touch with you soon. There are no dumb questions or experiences, just opportunities to learn and do the work. Have a great week.